If you'd all turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look at the first 7 verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. If you pray with me, please. Heavenly Father and Lord, we bow before you as a body of believers and friends and families this morning, Lord, to ask, Lord, that you would guide the order of this service. We pray, Lord, for the preaching of the word from Pastor Peterson. We pray for all aspects, from the singing of the hymns to the special music. We pray, Lord, that this special installation service would be memorable to each and every person that is in this room, Lord, that all of us would take it to heart, not take it lightly, but seriously. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to encourage one another, keep one another in prayer and in each other's hearts. And we pray especially for Pastor Postiff and his dear wife and their children, that you would guide and direct them, Lord. And as we just read in your word, that you would keep them from the snares of the devil, that you would not let Satan enter in or mingle amongst the body here at Fellowship Bible Church. I pray, Lord, that the gospel would go forth from this place, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed for eternity. And we pray, Lord, that Fellowship Bible will be a beacon in this town, Lord, and around the world. We think of, Lord, some of the missionaries, Lord, who we support in prayer and financially, that you would be with them today, and for other churches that are proclaiming your word, that are clearly presenting the gospel, that you would cause those works to abound, and that the Holy Spirit would go forth and to work and to draw and to bring believers so that angels may rejoice at souls added to the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the many folks that are here this morning who have taken time out of their schedule or taken a hiatus from their own responsibilities at their local body to support our dear brother and Pastor Postiff and his wife. And we just pray, Lord, that everything that is done and said will be to your glory. We pray for those who might still be on their way yet this morning, Lord, that you grant them safety. We ask all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, and with thanksgiving, amen.
Well, good morning again. Just a few announcements. But before I get to those, I'd just like to recognize a few visitors and thank my family for being here. My sister there is the one in the cast. So watch out, she could whack you. And my father and mother are there, my grandmother, my brother Scott, sitting next to Chuck. And then in the next row, we have my Uncle Jerry behind my dad there. And then the Beard family, wonderful to have them among us again. And let's see, who else is back here? Yes, our friend Rick, nice to have you here with us. I picked him up this morning. And then Jen Brusso, right? Yes. All right. And where's your husband? He's with the kids probably, right? Yeah, up at camp. Okay. All right. Okay. And what about over here? I'd like to welcome Dr. Compton and his wife here in the second row. Dr. Snowberger and his wife, both from the seminary and Inner City Baptist Church. And I see David and Jonathan there. Good to have you with us. All right. And Nancy Miller in the third row, good to have you and your family. And And there's still some more. Wow. Brother Marlon, happy birthday. Yeah, right. And my brother-in-law Tom and my sister-in-law Rachel are in the back, and James, and then there's Peregrine. And Michael, we know you, but we say hi anyway. All right. Greetings to all of you. It's wonderful to have you here this morning. I'd like to just point out a couple of announcements to you. After this service, right after we're finished with the closing prayer, we invite everyone to come with us next down the hall there for our luncheon. Everyone is invited. If you didn't bring anything except your empty stomach, you're still welcome. So come and join us for that lunch. This evening we'll have a normal evening service. I will be preaching from the Gospel of John again. We'll be treating John 1, verses 15 to 18. And then after that, we're going to have a short business meeting regarding the allocation of some funds for some upkeep to the building here. And so we ask you members if you will be sure to be here to participate with us in that. Next Lord's Day, we're going to have Brother Ross Hodgson here. He's from Grand Rapids. He's a Bible translator, and he will speak to us in the Sunday school and in the morning service. And so I'd like to welcome you to come back for that ministry of our brother. He's been highly recommended to us from Pastor Charles Mason, who's over in Searsport, Maine. Many of you remember him. He ministered among us back in 2004 for a few months. And so he comes with his recommendation. Couple more announcements. We have the membership class starting next Lord's Day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon will be our first meeting together. I've contacted many of you about that class and tried to do my best to encourage you about the importance of that. And so please join us. I do have some materials on my desk in my office there. They're the doctrinal statement and the Constitution, as well as an outline for the class and a membership application form, which you can pick up today if you'd like. It'd actually be best if you did that, if you plan to participate, so you can review that material before we meet. And then one other announcement. Next month, August 12th, we have our church picnic to celebrate 25 years of ministry here at Fellowship Bible Church, and to meet the new pastor and just have a good time of fellowship. And so I'd like to make sure that you all know you're welcome. August 12th, Saturday, and we've invited many of the people from our surrounding neighborhood. Yesterday, we were able to go out and give some flyers out for that to many of the homes. And we have some extra flyers on my desk also. If you'd like to take some to post at your work or to hand to somebody that you know, a neighbor or a coworker, we'd welcome you to do that so we can have as many people as possible. We have several grill masters here, and they will be cooking up the dogs and the hamburgers just as we need them. So in any case, those are pretty much the announcements this morning, unless I've forgotten any. Doesn't look like it. So let's move on to the next part of the service. I'd like to ask the men if they'd take up the offering this morning, and my wife will be substituting for Andrea Smith, playing the offertory, who was unable to play this morning. So, gentlemen, please come forward and take up the offering. Thank you. Thank you. ask one of our former deacons, Richard Beard, if he'd lead us in prayer for the offering, please.
Our great and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege to bow before you in prayer over this offering which is taken up, Lord. Oh God, we ask that you to win souls for Jesus Christ. We bring glory to thy name. We use it to support missionaries, dear Lord. We use it to help this local body grow. In the grace of God, the Lord Jesus, to be an outreach in this neighborhood and this city and around the world. Lord, continue to bless in this service. We're so grateful for all you provided for us, most of all, a home in heaven and salvation. In your kind, and thank you for the finances, jobs you provided for us. We praise you. God, continue to bless in this service. May Jesus Christ be magnified. It is his name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Brother Yanga, will you come and lead us in our next hymn, please? Thank you. I got to hear her practice, as I always say. It's a great blessing. I'd like to welcome Pastor Don Peterson to the pulpit this morning. We asked him several weeks ago if he would preach this installation service. He's been a great blessing to our assembly over about 10 years. He was reminding me this morning, substituting for Pastor Sachs when he was unable to carry the ministry and when he was away. And he's been an interim pastor at my parents' church, Emmanuel Bible, out in Chelsea. And so we've grown to know and love the Petersons, and we look forward to hearing what you have to say today. I know I will be paying close attention, since he will be charging me, but I hope you will as well, since he will also charge you with your responsibilities in this ministry. Pastor Peterson.
I hear all these titles around, Dr. So-and-so and this doctor and the other one. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a nurse. I'm committed to the Word of God. That's the highest authority we can have. I appreciate your prayer for us. So many have said, you look good. And you remember how it looked the last time I was here. I was undergoing a pre-cancer treatment for my face, and I was all blotchy with red and things like that. Thank you for putting up with me at that occasion. And happily, the Lord has cleared that away. Praise the Lord for that. And I thank you for your prayers. People said in Sunday school you prayed for me and my voice, and happily it is rather clear today. And has been clear for some time. I took some exercises from somebody at U of M some time ago. He could have given me the things that were beneficial in one session, and I had about seven. So happily somebody paid for that. It wasn't me. Changes have already been made in Fellowship Bible Church. First one I noticed was Pastor moved his desk. And changes, I appreciate very much that quiet time of prayer before the service starts. So lovely. So often the leader of the service has to quiet people down to get their attention to announce the first hymn. And I think there's a place and a time for talking, and there's a place and a time for being quiet before the Lord. I want to share something rather simple today, and as Pastor has said, this is a challenge for all of us, himself, and for all of us here who are part of the church. The hockey season is over. The basketball season is just completed. Baseball season is in full swing. I have a Detroit Tigers cap with a D on the front. And so I always tell people, as long as Detroit's winning, that stands for Detroit. When they're losing, it stands for Don. Arguably, the most important player on a football team is the quarterback. He calls the plays. He handles the ball almost every play. He runs, he passes, he fakes. And often after a win, the team hoist him on their shoulders, congratulating him on what was done in the game. But almost invariably, the quarterback responds by saying he could not have done it without the participation of every member of the team who block and tackle and intercept and kick and run and do whatever is necessary so that the win can go on the record. In almost every sport, a win is a team effort. Today we're here to install a new quarterback in Fellowship Bible Church. If anything good is going to happen, it will need to be a team effort. Everybody said, amen. Pastor and people together. Some have characterized that relationship also as a honeymoon between the pastor and the people, at least in the early months of the ministry. You've already been through that, all right? Pastor Arnold Bracey stated perhaps more correctly, the goal of the pastor and the congregation should be to create a good marriage, not just an extended honeymoon. However we define that relationship, both pastor and people have a part. You are all to be a team, and whenever it's my opportunity to be here, I'll be a part of the team as well. We'd like to look at what the pastor should do and how, and what the members of the team should do and how. If you turn, please, to Titus chapter 1 and 2. Titus chapter 1 and 2. We're just going to skip over this rapidly. Verse 5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders, leaders, in every city as I appointed thee. I would say those are to be sound leaders. But as you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, you find the word sound over and over again. Sound meaning solid, wholesome. Verse 9, reading in the middle of the verse, be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. This is to you, brother. Verse 13, at the end, that they may be sound in the faith. Chapter 2 and verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let the aged man be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith. In order to have sound people as leaders of the flock here, brother, you need to be sound, and I'm sure you are. And the dear people here, having had the experience of your leadership for some time now in various capacities, know these things about you. So we're just reminding each of us about that. Sound in the faith. Verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, sound living. We hear too often about living that is not according to the dictates of the Word of God, even on the part of those who are pastors and leaders in the church. Verse 8, sound speech. Wholesome, solemn. Had a young lady one time who was thinking about changing churches, and I asked her why. She says, because we're not getting the depth of the Word. We tell our children to take their Bibles to Sunday school and church, and they say, why? We don't use them. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? So we already know how well Pastor Postin lives up to these standards of soundness and wholesomeness in his own personal life, in his ministry. I want to spend a little time speaking to him and to all of us about how he should do the ministry of the soundness of God's Word. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Three little phrases that are here. Apostle Paul characterized his own ministry, and we would love to characterize the ministry of Pastor Postiff in the same way, and I'm sure he desires that that should be true of his ministry in this church. In verse 6, we have at the end, as or like the apostles of Christ. That's the kind of ministry he should have. And then verse 7, we were gentle among you even, what? As a nurse, or like a nursing mother, cherishes her children. And then down in verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, what? As or like a father does his children. Those three similes we want to just look at and illustrate just briefly. Pastor, be authoritative like an apostle. If you note the preaching of the apostles, in verse 2, at the end it says, the gospel of God was our text and our goal. Verse 4, he said, put in trust with the gospel. Verse 8, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls we delivered to you, because you were dear to us. Verse 9 at the end, we preached unto you the gospel of God. What is our authority? What is his authority? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole counsel of God, as Paul says many times, preach the word. Preach the word. You'll note the preaching of the apostles. They directed their hearers again and again back to the words of Jesus and Moses and David and the prophets. Their authority was the Word of God. He wanted them to know and love the Word. And you already know, Pastor Postiv has signed up for that, already given you a great deal of that. Now, here I'm distinguishing between authoritative and authoritarian. Webster's Dictionary says, authoritative means proceeding from authority. He's not his own authority. He proceeds from the authority of God's Word. Bring your Bibles. Check them on it. The authority of God's Word. Whereas authoritarian draws attention to the one who is speaking. Webster's Dictionary even mentions, in fact, dictator. Be authoritative like an apostle, like the apostles were, going back constantly to the Word of God. Don't be authoritarian, saying, this is the way it has to be because I'm saying so. I read a sermon one time, and over, again and again, it said, listen to me. I didn't hear him. Listen to me, you deacons. Listen to me, you Sunday school teachers, you bus drivers, you teens. This is the way you ought to be doing it. Drawing attention to himself as the authority, not to the word. Pastor, be authoritative, but not authoritarian. Back up your ministry with, thus saith the Lord. And people will now have no problem with that. Secondly, be gentle like a nurse. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. A nursing mother is what that has in mind. I talked with another couple that were considering changing churches after years of attending and serving in the church. And they said, well, in the morning, pastor preaches an evangelistic sermon. There's no problem with that. But in the evening and in the prayer meeting, he beats and beats upon the people of God. He said, I heard the tape. There was screaming and yelling and shaming, and the sheep were leaving the fold. Paul said his method of preaching, though it was authoritative, like an apostle, was also gentle, like a nursing mother. Now, sometimes any mother has to reprove and rebuke sometimes as necessary, but all of it must be given in genuine compassion and love for the members of the family whom they are serving. So, Pastor, be that kind of a minister. Authoritative, like an apostle, going back to the word, but also tender and compassionate, like a nursing mother does her children. And thirdly, be exemplary, like a father. Verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged, well, let's start with verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as or like a father does his children, setting the example by your behavior, not only in the pulpit, but in the community. Be an exemplary pastor to all who come in contact with you. And disciple others in this ministry as well. The daughter of our pastor, when I was a teen and early 20s, went to Moody Bible Institute, found a young man over there, and found an education as well. And was of the type that didn't always agree with everyone or everything she heard from the pulpit, even her own husband, who was a pastor as well. And she would often say, is that what Daddy would teach? Is that how Daddy would do it? Her dad had a great influence upon her. He set a great example, not only for his daughter, but for me and for others who were there. Set a great example of a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and apart from evil. So, Pastor, be an example in word and in deed to the dear children of God in Fellowship Bible Church. Preach the word, as you're already doing, and I know, I've heard you. Do it authoritatively, thus saith the Lord. But do it tenderly and compassionately, because people have tender hearts. And do it in an exemplary manner, like a father would his children. But as we said, in a game, it isn't only the quarterback that wins the game, it's the whole team. Now I'm going to meddle with the rest of you. There are some things that we ought to be doing for and with our dear pastor here today. Five things. Hope you'll copy them down. Look at them often. All right? Moody Monthly once said, the better a church supports its pastor, the better he can serve them. And we're talking about your support in this ministry that all of us have, including Marilee and myself, as often as we are here. Lead them. Help them grow. First of all, support him with your prayer. That's vital. And I know you do. But it's so very vital. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. After giving the armor of the child of God, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What does he say next? Pray for me. Of all people in the Bible, I thought, hey, they're on a great relationship with the Lord. Maybe they don't need too much prayer. Paul said, I need your prayer. Your pastor needs your prayer every day. He faces things every day you wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. He knew that that would be something Satan would tempt him not to do. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. chapter 20 of the book of Acts. Interesting thing. Book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 16 and 17. Paul's on one of his missionary journeys. He's already been at Ephesus a couple of times. And now he's going back to Jerusalem, and because of time restrictions, he knows if he gets into Ephesus, they're going to want him to stay. So he goes to Miletus over on the seacoast, and he sends for the elders of the church, the leaders of the church. Verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, know ye from the first day that I came unto you into Asia, after that what manner I have been with you in all seasons. Now I take it these people had jobs, they had families, they had responsibilities, and home. And yet they traveled, left all of that, and traveled about 36 miles from Ephesus to Miletus to be with Paul. To do what? To have him fellowship together with them and to pray. Verse 36. When they had spoken these words, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Part of the success Paul had was that people prayed for him. I appreciate your prayer for me, even when I'm not here. Your prayer for our ministry at the prison camp that continues to go on. We praise the Lord for that. Warren Wiersbe, who has spoken in hundreds of churches and conferences, says, I depend upon the prayer of the dear people of God. He said, some have people who are praying for me all week before I come to their church, and pray also before the service and during the preliminary part of the service, so that I feel when I enter the pulpit, the power of God is resting upon me. Your pastor needs health and strength and wisdom, boldness, comfort, direction, encouragement from God. Bring it down to him as you pray for him. And what's the other one? As you pray with him on Wednesday evening. And we had, I think, 8 or 9 in the office this morning praying. It's a good sign. Pray for him, yes, but pray with him when you meet together for that time of prayer. Secondly, support him with your presence. These are 5 peas in a pod. Someone said the better a church supports its pastor, the better he can serve them, the better he can lead them, the better he can help them to grow. You well know Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, even the day when not too many people are doing that. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, even on Super Bowl night, even during March Madness, and holidays, and days when the weather is bad. I had the thrill one Wednesday evening when I was serving at Mount Hope Bible Church. We had a very slippery, icy Wednesday evening for prayer. And I thought, well, I wouldn't be surprised if not many, if any, came tonight. We had more than usual. Maybe it was because they couldn't do anything else. Oh, what an encouragement to the pastor in regard to that. Support him with your presence. As I've shared with you before, you can consider a housewife who plans and prepares a great meal, and only a few of the family comes, or they come and say, oh, I'm sorry, I had a hamburger on the way home. How does she feel, having labored and planned? Disappointed, maybe even discouraged. Or a father constructs a recreation room or a family room in the basement with the fireplace and table tennis and other activities that help the family fellowship together, but no one uses it. You're all out doing your own thing. Does he feel let down? Sometimes he does. Maybe even angry. When Pastor has prayed, studied, and prepared, maybe even practiced his messages for the Lord's Day, imagine how he feels if few or even none come in the light of what the Bible says. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There's something to be gained by, you say, I can pray at home, or I can worship at home. There's something to be gained, much to be gained, by fellowship together. We will always be, those who are fundamental Christians, we will always be in the minority in the world. And we need the strengthening comes by being together and worshiping together and serving together the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, support him in his preparation. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, the church was growing, the early church, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Some felt that they were not given as much attention as others, that you were Christian people in the church. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Remember what it said? It's not reason that we should leave the word of God in prayer and serve tables. May I add a couple of other things? Paint windows, or mow the lawn, or fix the roof, or clean the church, or shovel the snow. The more time Pastor has in the word and prayer and related ministries in the church and in the community, the better will be that good marriage that we talked about between Pastor and the people together. Now, I'm sure Pastor will be happily involved in any emergency. I have shoveled snow. I have mowed the lawn and things of that kind. But be sure the bulk of his time is dedicated to the thing God has prepared him to do, and that is minister the word of God in related ministries. And especially, may I say, I don't know when you study, brother. Maybe it's midnight. I don't know. Mornings are precious to pastors. If you can reserve your telephone calls or you're dropping in to visit and things like that for some other time than those morning hours, and leave those hours to Pastor and the Lord and the Word and prayer, all of us will benefit from doing that. Dr. John MacArthur gave a little suggestion to those who kept asking him, how is it you have such a successful ministry, a preaching ministry? And he said, well, I reserve those morning hours, and I say to my secretary, I don't want any interruptions this morning. Is any emergency, come right away. But give me those morning hours. When the mail comes, don't bring it in. When the telephone call comes, ask them if they return the call this afternoon. We keep all the appointments away from that particular slot so I can spend my time with the Lord. He said, I put myself behind my desk in my chair with my Bible and my Lord, and I pray to him, Lord, give me something great from God's word, from my own heart, that I can share with others. And he said, I keep my seat in that chair until God gives me something thrilling from me, from the Word, that I can share with God's people. I tell you, that's a good idea. So support your pastor in his preparation. Give him the time. If there's something that's an emergency, he will respond immediately and wants to. But if it will wait until some other time, maybe you can set aside a slot from 12 until 2. That's the time you can call, and we'll talk over whatever, the Detroit Tigers or whatever. Fourthly, support him, now I'm meddling, in his pocketbook. Oh. 1 Timothy 5 tells us, those who labor in the word are worthy of double honor. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at last your care of me has flourished again. The Philippians had sent to the Apostle Paul so that his financial, his material needs were met. You've done it again. Wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I don't have to have a whole lot. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. However, you have done well that you did communicate with me in my need. I did have a need. And you found out what it was. And you sent again and again to my need. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, their messenger, the things which were sent from you. Notice what God considers what they did for Pastor Paul. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Not only well-pleasing to Pastor and his family, but well-pleasing to God. Tuna Smile, the longtime pastor, now with the Lord of Calvary Bible Church in Kalamazoo, went on vacation one summer, and he came back. And in their first board meeting after his vacation, he discovered in the minutes that the men of the board had met together and had increased his salary, unbeknown to him. They were in a building program, and he said to the men of the board, men, with all our responsibilities and expenses of the building program, you can't afford to do that. One of the dear deacons spoke up and said, Pastor, as we read the Word of God, we can't afford not to. Support your pastor in his pocketbook so the needs of his family, his health care, his housing, his transportation, and even his retirement are met. I lived in a parsonage all of my ministry. But the church has supported me well enough so that by careful planning, I had a place to live when I retired. It was small, but it was a place to live. And a retirement fund as well. I know of a church who did not do that. The resulting disagreement in the church as to what to do about the retiring pastor's need of a place to live split the church. And never was the same after that. They were concerned, but a little bit too late. Someone has said a pastor's salary ought to be a median at least the median of the annual income of the families of the church. Good place to begin. Support your pastor in his pocketbook. And finally, support him with your participation. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And without a doubt, Pastor Sachs and others have shared this with you, so it's nothing new. Verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he, Jesus, gave to the church gifted people, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. And then, because of the, and I have the old King James, because of the punctuation of that, we say, okay, here's what the pastor is to do. He's to perfect the saints, comma, and do the work of the ministry, comma, and edify the body of Christ. Now, it's easy to do that. Say, well, that's pastor's responsibility. Perfect the saints, work of the ministry, building up the church. But if we know something about the Greek, we know that they did not have punctuation. And so those commas were put in by the translators and gives us a little detour as to the real meaning. What he's really saying there, the pastor teachers are God's gift to the church for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ is built up. Pastor and people together doing the work of the ministry. Pastors are to be equipping and training the believers in the church so that the pastor and the people as a team do the work of the ministry together and thus build up the work of the Lord as he gives them opportunity. We hear about pastoral burnout so often. Why is it? Because the pastor's in the arena of the ministry, of the gospel, standing against the onslaughts of Satan, contending for the faith, and too often the congregation is in the stands cheering him on. Well, praise God if you're cheering him on. But he needs more than your cheer. He needs more than your encouragement. He needs you to be in the arena with him. Someone has said, Christianity is the greatest spectator sport in the world. People come and watch while a handful of pastors and teachers carry on the ministry. That's not what Paul has in mind in Ephesians chapter 4. Pastor needs your presence, your prayer, your financial support, your participation, and your respect for his time with the Lord in study. I have another sermon that's called God's Accordion Concert, taken from the early chapters of the book of Acts. And it picks up on all of those songs. They were of one accord. When there was time to pray, they prayed together of one accord. When it was time to minister, they, on one accord, ministered for the Lord Jesus Christ. When it's time to preach the gospel, they are of one accord. I would suggest, dear ones, unity is not just the absence of dissent, but the presence of cooperation and participation together. And that early church grew by leaps and bounds, as it has not done since in most cases. So, Pastor, thank you for the opportunity of reminding you. Preach and teach the word in precept and in practice with authority like an apostle, with gentleness like a nursing mother, with exemplary behavior like a loving father. And dear ones, and may I say, dear ones, my wife and I love you all. We've been here 10 years. Not enough. And see, we can come here and preach to you and take off and leave all the problems here at the pastor. All right? Where was I? All right? All right. Support your pastor with your presence, your prayer, your respect for his hours of preparation, provision for his well-being, and your participation in the ministry that belongs to all of us, not just to him. And if you do, and we do, as pastor and people, there will be a honeymoon for a while, but there will also be a good marriage of pastor and people that just may go on until Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be great? I hope this is the last pastor you have to have. Once in a while, the opportunity of ministering in churches where I've been a pastor, and I like sometimes to fellowship together with them later. Fenton Bible Church was one of them, I think my second church. An older church, had a nice building, kept it up nicely, but attendance had been dwindling and the pastor left. They invited a young man who had just graduated from Bible Institute to be their pastor. They knew, as many churches do, that he wouldn't have all the ability and finesse and experience of a seasoned pastor. But one of the leaders of the church, recognizing this, got together with the congregation and he said to them, "If our church is to grow and prosper under the Lord, we will need to attend and pray and serve and evangelize with him." Some months later, I was in an IFCA meeting where Bud Van Loon was attending. He and his wife at that time, in their retirement, had gone to Fenton Bible Church. And I asked Bud, "How are things going at Fenton Bible Church?" And he lightened right up and his eyes sparkled. And he said, "The pastor is growing by leaps and bounds, and the church is growing with him. The honeymoon is getting better and better." I hope that's true. And will come to mean a wonderful bond of marriage between you and this dear congregation until Jesus comes. Paul says in Philippians 4:9, "These things which you have both learned and received," not for the first time from me, "and heard and seen," what's the next word? "Do. And the God of peace shall be with you." And verily I covenant with the Lord to pray for you and be of whatever help we can be to you in this work of God here in Ann Arbor. I'm going to ask the pastor and his wife, and something that as much as is possible, if the whole congregation would stand and form a circle around the sanctuary and let's hold hands while we have our prayer of, what is this? Our prayer of installation. All right, I'm sorry. You know, don't get as old as I am, people. Please don't. Prayer of installation. So as much as is possible, let's do that. Just circle the auditorium and hold hands together while we have the prayer of installation for the pastor by Dr. Compton, and the prayer for the congregation by James Widgeon. Move up, please. Join hands together, please. And after the prayer, we're going to sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." I'll leave that, okay?
Before I pray, I've been asked to read a letter from Dr. McCabe at the seminary, where Brother Matt attended. And this is what he had to say. I'm sorry. Dear friends in Christ, greetings from Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. Since my wife and I are out of town, I regret that I could not personally be at this installation service. Permit me instead to highlight some of my thoughts about Pastor Matthew Postiv and conclude with a challenge. I have known Matt since 2001 and have interacted with him in a number of different areas that range from academic to personal issues. While at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary, he demonstrated that he is biblically competent and spiritually gracious. In my first and second year Hebrew classes, not only did he have the highest grade, but he also was involved in assisting some of the others who were at the opposite end of the class. While I was impressed with his ability to learn Hebrew, I was equally impressed with his humility in assisting his classmates. His lifestyle reflects the character qualities that are outlined for those who have set their hearts on being an overseer in 1 Timothy 3, such as being above reproach, the husband of but one wife, self-controlled, gentle, not quarrelsome, teachable. Since I have known Matt, I have been able to observe his theological growth and development of the pastoral character qualities that Paul outlines in the pastoral epistles. Some of you may remember his ordination council, where he displayed unusual ability to defend his doctrinal beliefs along with a humble attitude. In my opinion, you have wisely selected Dr. Postiv to serve as your pastor. As he is assuming the role of your pastor, he has a tremendous responsibility to carry out the duties of an elder. Please pray for him, his wife, and children on a daily basis. He will need your prayer support. As an installation service reflects, you are officially declaring that Pastor Postiv is the shepherd of your flock. In starting this new era in the life of Fellowship Bible Church, both you and your new pastor must take seriously the responsibility that our Lord has given you. Hebrews 13:7 summarizes this mutual responsibility well. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. May God's richest blessing reside on your ministry. Sincerely in Christ, Robert B. McCabe. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, that you loved us. You so loved us that you gave your Son, the only begotten, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, to die, to be buried, to be raised, to ascend, to make intercession for us even now, and to come again, to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Dear Lord, we pray in a special way for each one of us who now has Pastor Halstead as our under-shepherd. Dear Lord, we ask you to work in our hearts and cause us, each one individually, to examine ourselves and to understand what our responsibility is to the Holy God and to the man of God whom you have set before us. And so, Lord, as we go out from today, from this building, cause us to reflect long and hard upon the words of God which have been preached today from this pulpit, that we will not soon forget that we have gathered in a special way for a special time, and cause us to be that team working and pulling together, praying together, joying and rejoicing together as we set out to accomplish not our goals and purposes, but that which the living God has appointed unto us to do. Oh God, help us to be faithful. Put an hedge about us. Keep us in the way so that we can exalt and glorify the Almighty God. We lift up the prayer in the name of Christ our Savior and with thanksgiving. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge from your word by your servant this morning. And as we have been reminded of the qualifications of a pastor, a shepherd, we are sobered and would reflect the cry of our Apostle Paul when he said, "Who is sufficient for these things?" But the moment those words are out of our lips, our Father, your word reminds us that you are sufficient. And that as you have begun a good work in your servant, you will continue to accomplish it until the day of our Lord. Father, we pray for Pastor Postiff, as has already been prayed this morning, that you would be pleased to set a hedge about him and his family, that you would protect him from the evil one and all of his strategies, that you would strengthen him in every way in the faith and in faithfulness, that by a working of your Spirit through the Word of God, you would increase, Father, day in and day out, his love for you, his love for your Word, and his love for this work. Fill him with zeal, Father, and a hunger and a thirsting for your truth and righteousness, that his joy might be to know and to obey, to proclaim and to defend the oracles of the living God. We pray, Father, that you would continue to establish him as an example to the flock in word and conduct, and faith and purity. And that you would continue to mold and shape him, our Father, in the image of our great God and Savior. That through his ministry, Father, Fellowship Bible Church would, in reflecting upon the example of their pastor, grow more in love with you and with your word and with your work. Continue to establish the ministry here, Father, as a lighthouse for the gospel, a hospital for souls. May you increase in every way the burden of your servant, our pastor, to desire, Father, to evangelize the lost, to see your Spirit through the gospel bring souls to saving faith in Christ, and then to be baptized and made a part of this fellowship to worship and serve the true and living God. So, Father, we ask your blessing upon your servant, upon his family, and upon this ministry. May it in every way exalt our Lord and Savior, and hallow thy name, and be well pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Most of us know, blessed be the tie that binds, the first stanza. Let's sing it a couple of times. You want to sing it? Yeah. Okay. All right, let's take it.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred binds is like to that above. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of Christian minds is like to that above.
We're going to ask Pastor and his wife to come down to the front here. And perhaps we can just move around and congratulate him and just say to him, we're with you, Pastor. We're part of the team. Pastor and your wife, you want to say a word?
Yes,
first of
just,
all?
Just one word. Pastor Peterson asked me to close with a benediction this morning, and instead of him doing it, it's an honor for me to do that. And I just wanted to say thank you again. Thank you for supporting my wife and I and the children, calling us to this ministry. The words that have been spoken this morning, we will do our best under God's power to fulfill. And I trust that you will as well. Let us forget those things which are behind, beloved, and press on towards those things which are before, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, with your blessing, I pray you will dismiss us from this room as we are able to greet all of the folks. We pray they will feel welcome to stay for lunch and further fellowship with us. May the grace of God and the fellowship of the Spirit and the love of Christ be their portion. We pray also, our God, that as you told the priests in the days of old to give this blessing to the people, that the face of God would shine upon these folks, and that he would bless, that you would bless them, and that you would give them peace. From now until eternity, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.